Well, let's look tonight in Galatians 6. If you guys would stand, we're just going to read a couple verses. We're actually going to try to be done a little earlier tonight than normal. Is that all right? You say you've told us that before. It doesn't mean anything. So, Galatians chapter number 6. This is a great book. And when the pastor finds the book, it's right before Ephesians. It's chapter 6. Let's look at verse number 6 through Galatians 6, verse 7. The Bible says this, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Father, we pray you bless your word as we look at it tonight. Speak to our hearts. Teach us as only you can. Use the frail lips of the man speaking tonight to do your work, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated tonight. And anybody ever made the statement, you reap what you sow? Ever said that? You reap what you sow, man, we say that. And anybody found that to be true? Reap what you sow. And that can be good, and that can be very painful. And sometimes in life, we can be a year, 2 years into recovery doing good, and then an old felony charge comes up, and like out of state, it's like, oh, man. But you know, when you do what's right, you know, you're sitting in freedom tonight, and so we reap what we sow. The Bible teaches this. Tonight, we're going to look at the reality of this truth. I want to start off with this basic premise, though. God is a God of law. And I don't just mean like legal laws. I'm talking about God is a God of laws. The universe we lived in is defined by a certain set of scientific laws and principles that there was a creator that put in place. The earth is so fine-tuned. I've done a little bit of study in science, and the fine-tuning, and when you get into the area of physics, is so unbelievable. Biologists, physicists, they would tell you that for life to exist on Earth is on a razor's edge. Life should not exist. There's no other planet they've ever found with any life. Nowhere. It's supernatural. God made it work. Just to give you a couple details about the Earth we live on, it's 25,000 miles in circumference. So that's the circumference of the Earth. It weighs 6,586,6,000,000,000,000 tons. It hangs in empty space. It spins at 1,000 miles per hour with perfect balance. As it spins, it also moves through space around sun's orbit, which is 580 million miles, at 1,000 miles per minute. And it does this at the perfect angle that allows us to have our seasons to provide the crops that feed us. And do you know that if the Earth's rotation slowed down just a little bit, we would ultimately freeze or burn up? Or do you know that the sun has a surface temperature of 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and if it were 2% closer to the Earth or 2% further away from the Earth, we would either freeze or burn up? Do you know our globe is tilted exactly at 23 degrees, and if it wasn't at that exact angle, vapors from the ocean would move north and south and pile up massive continents of ice? Do you know that if the moon did not remain in its exact distance from the Earth, the ocean tides would inundate the land twice every day? Do you know the ocean, if it slipped just a couple feet in depth further than it is, carbon dioxide and oxygen in the Earth's atmosphere would completely be absorbed and no vegetable life could exist? Those are just a couple simple things. I could go on and on and on. It's ridiculous. So you ever watch those shows, it's like, we shouldn't be alive, we're going to die anytime. You know, I mean, these guys know that somebody's holding this thing up. What's going on here? And you know, Hebrews 1:3 says, he upholds the world by the word of his power. In Colossians 1:17, it says that he, by him all things consist. People are worried about global warming. I'm going to tell you this. Mankind is not going to be the ones that sustain this planet. The only reason this planet is sustained is because God upholds it. Now, I think it's good to obviously take care of things and to recycle. Those are good things. But the earth is not going to continue because I threw away one more can. Does that make sense? Give you James Dwight Dana of Yale University. He's probably the most eminent geologist America ever produced, said this. "Young men, as you face scientific problems, remember that I, an old man," this guy was speaking to the graduates of Yale University, he said, "I, an old man, who have only known science all my life, say to you there is nothing truer in the universe than the scientific statements in the Word of God." He's perhaps the greatest biologist our country has ever produced, said that. You know, Sir Isaac Newton was one of the greatest physicists and mathematicians. He said this: "This most beautiful system of the sun, planet, and comets could only proceed from the counsel and domain of an intelligent and all-powerful being." God is a God who set laws in place, and any scientist that looks at it logically understands there has to be someone behind it. You have a watch on your wrist. Somebody designed that. Somebody put the pieces in place. And somebody's allowing us to live on this planet, breathe its oxygen, do all these things. And he's a God of law. Now, God not only puts in physical laws, but he also puts in spiritual laws, moral laws. There are things that God places in our life. And so tonight, that's what I want to look at. I want to look at three simple truths. These are just so clear in this passage about God's laws of sowing and reaping. The first is this, and it's verse number 7. And it simply says this: "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." So the first point is this: you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. If you have a garden, you understand sowing and reaping. Anybody in here garden? Anybody ever broke beans before, to be honest with me? Broke beans, man, that is the worst. I used to punish our kids with breaking beans. I'm like, "You didn't clean your room? Break the beans!" You know, get in there, break the beans. And they're like, "We'll clean our room, Dad. We'll clean your room." I'm like, "All right, I don't want to break beans either." I mean, you breaking them beans, man, it's just miserable stuff. But you know, if you're gonna plant, get beans out of the ground, you got to put some bean seed in the ground, right? You got to put corn seed to get corn and so forth. You want weeds, you do nothing, right? I mean, weeds just come, and that's true in our life. You got to pull weeds. You got to plant crops. Paul is teaching here that you harvest only what you have planted, and you have two categories according to the Word of God to invest in. And don't miss this. There's only two categories, and it says it in Galatians chapter number 6. It says, "For he that soweth to the flesh," and then it goes on and says, "and he that soweth to the Spirit." So you either sow to the fleshly things or you sow to the spiritual things. The flesh and the spirit are not in cohesion. They do not like one another. You know why we struggle? Is because this is still here. We have a sin nature in our physical body, a desire to do wrong, and when one day we physically die, the battle's over. So the one good thing, when you're dead, you don't fight anymore with sin, right? But we're going to battle this stuff. Now, Galatians 5:16 says this: "Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts," and that word means wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These things are in a battle against each other. I just want to give you guys maybe a simple picture of this. I would draw it up here if I had a bullet. But when you live in the flesh, say your flesh is over here, 6'4", and you got a big flesh, and you've been living in the flesh for 20, 30 years of your life, doing what you want to do, giving in to the physical desires. You want to look at something, you look at it. You want to give in to something, you give into it. You want to act on that desire, you give into it. And then you get saved, you come to Christ. Well, then the Bible says when you get saved, you're born again. And so you become a babe in Christ. You're not spiritually mature. I mean, Rick was talking about that when he got saved. I mean, I remember talking to him about certain things. He's like, "Why is that wrong? Why is that wrong?" You know, and he began to realize, you know, some of the things my flesh was doing is not lining up with the Word of God. And there's a battle that begins to take place between the flesh, who's been saying, hey, I've been getting my way for a long time, and now you're telling me no, and that's not easy to do. And so the Spirit is born, and he's just a little baby. So here's this little spirit over here, and he's like, "Follow Jesus." And your flesh is like, "Shut up." And you know, and so it's like, "Read the Bible." And you're like, "I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't watch this show." And then he's over there, "Let's get up and go to church." And you're like, "I don't want to get up and go to church." And there's this battle that goes on. And so the question is, how do I win this thing? And the Bible says you have to deny your flesh. The Bible says this in Galatians 5. Look at verse number 24 in the previous chapter right there. In Galatians 5:24, it says, "They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." There's a point in life where you got to begin to deny yourself things. Listen, freedom is not doing what you want to do. Freedom is being able to do what you know you're supposed to do. You got to get to a point where it's like, you know what? I have the power to say no to that and not give in to it. Learn to stop doing things that you even have the freedom to do. And I'm going to tell you, I had several guys in our church who they got a hold of this truth, And they began to deny themselves. They started giving up everything, man. They gave up this. They've given up smoking, given up this, given up the other things. But they began to deny their flesh things, and they just began to have power to say no to other areas that they've always been held in bondage to. And so in our life, just learn to say no. Say, you know what? I want to drink sweet tea. Well, I'm just going to drink water just to tell my flesh I'm in control. Pull up to a, instead of getting a Big Mac, just say, you know what? I'm going to get a, I don't even know what you can get there, you know, like a grilled chicken sandwich, you know, instead of the 15-inch Whopper with the, you know, with the bacon hanging off there and whatever Phil eats, you know. And but you begin to get your, and I'm telling you, as you begin to wake up, and because I remember talking to Phil, talking to Rick, talking to many people in this room, beginning to get up in the morning, learning to discipline myself, not staying up all night of the hour, all hours of the night, getting up in the morning, reading, studying, getting my mind and heart right spiritually allows me to be able to get through the day right. And so you got to begin to harness your physical passions. Listen, you have a choice in life to plant spiritual seeds or fleshly seeds. The vast majority of negative results in our life come from the decisions that we make. We violate God's laws that He set up. And you can't go against it and win. The Bible says in Job 4:8, it says this, "Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity sow wickedness, reap the same." Proverbs 13:21, "Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid." You understand, when you do wrong, evil's coming after you. I had a guy, I've done this many times, actually, over these years. I have guys call me up, and they're panicking. They're like, "I know they're looking for me. I know they're looking for me, Jeff." I had a guy one time call me up. He said, "Can you take me to Wendy's? I'm turning myself in, and I'm tired of being chased." He felt like he was being chased all the time by, like, cops and all these stuff. And so I remember giving him a Big Mac. He's like, "This is my last meal. I'm going to go away to jail for years." I mean, he had all this stuff on his record, genuine stuff. We take him down to jail. He's done. He's so nervous. He goes in. He said, "I'm turning myself in," you know, and they said, "What's your name?" Gave him all the stuff. They said, "There's nothing on your record." I mean, I'm telling you, he was like, right before he goes in, one last puff, baby, he goes in there and he's like, "I'm going in for good," you know, he's thinking like the rest of his life in jail. Finding out that, hey, you know what, that's what happens. Even if it doesn't catch us, we think it's coming after us. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It's like, man, you know, they're, who's sitting behind me, you know, who's looking at me in my car? I mean, we worried what they're going to send in the mail, what they're going to, you know, cop going to show up. There are some who say God's word doesn't apply to me. I'm going to live how I want to live. That's not true. The Bible says in verse number 7, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked." You don't fool Him. You jump, you come down. You sin, there is consequences. And so I've seen some professed Christians act like they can live how they want to, and that's just not the case. It's not the case. And so you reap what you sow. Let me give you the second truth tonight. The second truth is simply this. You reap more than you sow. You reap more than you sow. Look at verse number 8. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap" what? Corruption. "But he that sows to the Spirit shall of his spirit reap" what? Everlasting life, or life everlasting. If you give in and you sow to your flesh, you will reap corruption. The word corruption is the word we use for decaying food, rotting food, something that is degenerating. Sin corrupts and destroys. It kills everything it touches, and it touches everything. Romans 5:12 says, "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." The problem today is people sow in sin and don't expect those negative, deadly results, and they come. The Bible says, you remember when God told Adam and Eve, He said, "If you eat of this fruit of the tree, you will surely die." He told Adam that. And you know what? You know what Satan said? "You shall not surely die." Lowered the consequences, denied the consequence would happen. But it was going to happen. Anybody in here think if you stayed on drugs, you would have a good chance of living?
No.
Anybody in here think you probably would be dead right now if you continued on the path? Yeah. I mean, why? Because sin kills. And Rick is right. This is a theological problem. It's, I have to replace the false God for the true God. And when that happens, He can set me free from this false idol. And that's even people that don't even trust in Jesus, they understand that there's a God issue here. And they're like, it's a higher power issue, right? I mean, there's people that don't even believe this book, and they're like, it's higher, there's something there. I mean, there, and so God many times can take them through the process of opening their eyes, but so sin will kill me. Sin will kill me. Listen, sin shortens people's lives. Proverbs 10:27 says this, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be what? You're cut your life short. Ecclesiastes 7:17 says, be not overmuch wicked. And he goes on and says, why should thou die before thy time? And so Psalms 52 says that bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. And so listen, sin kills us. Sin. You ever seen somebody that is 20 but they look like they're 30? And then they start getting their life right with God, and man, they start getting their health and look back. Right? Yeah, I mean, Rick, I've seen his picture before. I've seen several of you guys' picture before, looking like, man, that guy looked like he was dead. Looked like he could have been dead. And now he's nice and plump and healthy, you know, and athletic, right? Yeah. But when he was a... healthy, you know. I had to get you back a little bit. But when you're 120 pounds at 6'3 or so, I mean, that's bad, man. And so, listen, when you do wrong, it will take your life. It doesn't take much sin to mess up life. Not only will sin bring physical death, but it brings spiritual death. Listen to me tonight. The greatest fear is not to physically die. It's to die and go to hell. Jesus said this. He said, don't fear the person that can kill you. Jesus said this. He said, fear the one that can kill you and cast your soul into hell. Fear him. The fear is not that, man, if I may get overdosed, the fear is I could die and go to hell forever. Like I need to consider that there is an eternal existence to my soul. God made you, and you will last forever in conscious existence. That's what the Bible clearly teaches. Revelation 21:8 says this, the fearful, unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all what? And obviously none of us have lied before. And what's he say? Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is the spiritual death. Physical death, that's talking about the first death. Spiritual death is the second death. And the Bible says, blessed are they that have no part in the second death. And so we need to understand that is a reality. The greatest fear is not physical death. It's spiritual death. If you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, what will you reap? Everlasting life. Life everlasting. Anybody want to live forever in paradise? I mean, honestly, like if I came to you and I said, I can take your entire family, say I was like Bill Gates or somebody with a lot of money, and I said, hey, I got an island that I bought, and I want to give you an all-expense trip paid for 6 months to this private island on a beach of its own. You can live it up. Food is cared for. We're going to shuttle it in. We'll fly you into this island. Everything's taken care of. There's even a nurse on standby if anything happens. I mean, just everything's taken care of. You're going to go to paradise for 6 months. And you say, what did I do to deserve it? I said, I'm just going to give it to you if you ask me. Just ask me. Anybody would ask me if I could do that for you? You're like, yes. Yeah, could I go? That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? I'd be like, can I bring my fishing pole, man? And so that'd be phenomenal, wouldn't it? Be phenomenal. Listen, and that would just be for 6 months. That'd be 6 months. Jesus Christ comes and says, that's nothing compared to what I'll give you forever. I'm going to give you a body that never decays. A body that doesn't even have the ability to sin is what I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you eternal life. You'll never struggle again. You can't even mess up anymore. I'm going to give you perfection. I'm going to make you like myself. That's what Jesus will do for us. And you say, what do I need to do? And he says, just come and ask. Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sin. Come and trust in Jesus Christ that he died for you, that he rose again from the dead. I'm going to tell you, the same thing Leslie found, Rick found, Beth found, Rob found, is the same thing you can find in Jesus Christ. And fully and truly, listen, you're going to die one day. I'm going to die one day, and it could be tonight. We all know people who've died before their time, right? This room knows it more than anybody else. We've all been to more funerals than we should have been to already in our lives. But I'm going to tell you something. God will give you everlasting life, give you paradise in heaven if you would surrender to him. Let me give you the last point, and we're going to be done. So secondly, you reap more than you sow. That's the great thing. You do wrong, you're going to reap everlasting judgment. You reap do right, you reap everlasting life. Man, both are extremes. And look at the third truth. You reap after you sow. Verse number 9 says this. Let us not be what? Weary. Anybody ever get weary doing right? Sometimes we can. We're like, man, it's tough doing what's right, isn't it? Is it tough doing what's right? It's easy doing wrong, isn't it? It's easy to like cuss at that guy that cut you off in traffic and get mad at that situation. But boy, I tell you what, it's hard to do what's right. It's hard to be patient and kind and loving. So it says you reap after you sow. It says, in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You start living right for the Lord, His blessings will come. Anybody find this to be true?
Yeah.
Finds it to be true. And so what are, notice the phrase, let us not be weary in well-doing. I've seen this happen, and don't miss this, we're almost done. Some people I've seen have gotten discouraged because they say how they are facing trials and difficulties after they become a Christian. They get saved, they start doing what's right. And I've seen it, man. I've seen it happen many times. I've seen some in this room where you started doing what's right and 2, 3, 4 months into it, and man, it seems like you just get hit once again and again. And then you're like, man, why is it even worth doing what's right? I'm getting hit with all this stuff. I think there's a couple reasons for that. One, you have the clarity of mind at that point. Now you realize all the stuff. Plus, you're out of the common place of getting hit all the time. Now you're in this place of doing what's right. You're excited, and we expect maybe not to go through hardships. You know, sometimes Satan attacks us as well. The Bible says we don't wrestle flesh and blood, but principalities. There's a spiritual attack that goes on. But I would say above all of that, I believe the reason that we, when we get right and we start doing what's right and we're planting the right seed, we reap after we sow. So if I'm 4 months into this Christian thing and I live 20 years of chaos, there is a harvest still there that's coming up. Does that make sense? I mean, there's a lot of seed that I put into the ground. And I'm over here like, God, why? And God's like, I didn't plant that seed. That's your seed. And God comes along and says, now I will help you get through that harvest time. But I didn't plant that seed. You know what we do? We're over here and we're like, God, how could you? God, how could you? And God said, I didn't plant one of those. I gave you eternal life. You're going to paradise with me forever. Remember that? And so what God does promise us is He's with us always. God says, I'm for you. I'm not against you. And you have a heavenly Father that loves you. The judge became your father when you got saved. Anybody ever stood before a judge and you're all nervous? What happens when the judge is dad? Hey, dad. You know what dad does? He doesn't put you in jail, according to the Bible. He doesn't send you to hell. He will chasten you. He will discipline you as a loving father does. I have 4 beautiful daughters, and when they do something wrong, you know what? I discipline them, not because I hate them, because I love them, because I don't want them to do something more harmful in life. And so, listen, you have a God in heaven that allows us to reap after we sow, and what we need to do is this. Please don't miss this statement. The people in this room that make it are the ones who can be thankful for the hardships. They're the ones who can say, you know what? I don't understand this right now, but I'm going to praise God for it, and I'm just going to turn this over to Him. If you don't learn to do that, and you get discontent, and think, it, whatever, this person owes you, that person, life owes me, you're going to relapse, you're going to be destroyed in your mind on the start, and then it'll destroy on the outside. You got to learn to be thankful for all things. Start getting real happy about everything in life. Man, I just got yelled at. Praise God, God's given me some patience, and He's helped me get through that. You know, I can't believe that person said that. You know, I've told you this before. If somebody says something bad about you and somebody comes to you and says, can you believe they said that about you? Just look at them and say, yeah, I can. Yeah. I mean, are we that shocked by it?
Right.
I'll be honest with you. We all share our testimony up here. We all put ourselves down. We realize how horrible we've lived.
Right.
And somebody else says something bad about us. We're like, how dare that person say that about me on Facebook or whatever. It's like, you know how bad we've lived? What we need to say is this, what they said about me, I don't know if it's true or not, maybe I've done some of those things or not, but praise God, God's forgiven me, and I just pray that they can get their heart to where they can forgive me one day for those things as well. And so don't be upset, don't get caught up in all the trivial things, and don't get tied up into that. Learn to be thankful. Listen, the best time to plant a tree is 25 years ago. The second best time is today. Start planting the seeds today. Start planting the seeds today and say, you know what, I'm going to change my life. And it starts with one minute, 1 hour, 1 day at a time. Get that clean day. Get your life right with Jesus Christ. Get a mentor. Get a sponsor. Get godly people around you. Start enjoying life together. Plug yourself into the Word of God. You don't understand it, get with somebody who can help you. Get plugged in Sunday to the church. Come to life groups, be around these things. I'm going to tell you, God will change your life one day at a time. Is it going to be easy? Nope, but both paths are hard. But I want to get the one that ends in everlasting life, not in death. Amen? Y'all with me? Let's stand tonight as we close.